Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate the free programs at worldviewradio.com, WVWTV.com? Do you appreciate the fact we put out a 24-hour-a-day stream of free television? By the way, did you know that's free for you to watch, but it's not free to us? We spend thousands of dollars a month in pushing out free programming. We have to pay the bandwidth. Every time someone listens to a radio show, watches a TV show, we get a bill. We have to pay the bandwidth bill. That comes to thousands of dollars a month, not counting the cost of our IT guys and all the other costs that go with producing television, the guys in the control room, and so much more. If you appreciate WVW Broadcast Network, would you partner with us? You can partner with us and help us push out free programming as a ministry of WVW Foundation, because you know what we could do? Put it all behind a paywall. But instead, we said, let's not do that. Let's push out programming for free as a ministry of the WVW Foundation. Would you please consider making a contribution right now at WVWFoundation.com? That's WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. You can also use our phone number and make a contribution over the phone by calling 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Thank you for supporting free programming through WVWFoundation.com. All right, good evening. Welcome to the broadcast. Glad you are with us. We're going to be joined tonight by a variety of guests. Mike Adams is going to join us in just 1 second. Annie Cyrus, Andy Woods, Trevor Loudon, a full show tonight. We are live here, 7:33 p.m. Central Time. As many of you know, we are outside. We're in the Mid-South, not far outside of Memphis. As we broke the news tonight during the Lindell Report, we will reset the table here. We, for a better part of a week, knew that video footage was soon to be released of five officers beating a man they pulled over in a traffic stop. What we came to find out throughout the week was this was five black officers, and they were arrested and are charged with second-degree murder. That video footage was released at 6 p.m. Central Time about an hour and 34 minutes ago. We played some of it during the Lindell Report, and we're going to play some of it again. We are now watching video footage of I-55. We may have erroneously said I-40 in the previous hour, but it is clearly I-55 now that I've had a chance to see the footage. It's Interstate 55. That traffic has stopped, I believe, going both directions. One direction for sure, into Arkansas. This is a major commerce area. FedEx is stationed in the Mid-South, Memphis, Tennessee. Also a major thoroughfare for UPS, the post office, and all of them, Interstate 40 and Interstate 55. We have pictures tonight that I was watching with live footage, and I believe that we now have not only, I believe, very likely, communist agitators at it again, like we have warned about and seen throughout 2020 in other cities. But, again, don't forget the founders of Black Lives Matter admit they are trained Marxists, Antifa a communist group. But as I was watching footage tonight, I quickly took my phone and made a camera shot of what appears to be a Islamic headscarf. I wanted to verify that fact, so I quickly sent it over to Annie. Before we go to Mike Adams, Annie, thank you for joining us quickly tonight. Guys, if you get in the control room, can you show that footage of that headscarf? Annie, welcome to the broadcast. While we're talking, guys, feel free to show it. I sent you screenshots of what was airing on TV here in the Mid-South, and I thought, well, that sure looks like a Palestinian headscarf like I used to see the Palestinian leader Gaddafi wear. But hey, you're the expert. I send it over to you. What say you?
Excuse me. Yes, what you see is known as kufiya or chafiya. They call it both. It is absolutely 100% a Palestinian symbol, not just a headscarf. It could be worn around the head or around the neck, but it's 100% a symbol. And it's early 1930s on, it has become the symbol of sovereignty, existence, and revolution of Palestine.
And here's the screenshot you sent me tonight. How the Palestinian, how you say it? The Palestinian kafia became a symbol of resistance. All right, so there it is. You see this headscarf, all right? So that's what I saw on the bridge, and I thought, uh-oh, this is a red-green axis, apparently. The Marxist and the Islamist are out in full force in the Mid-South tonight, and I sent it to you to verify. Now, let's go to the actual picture from two individuals that we took pictures of who are on the I-55 bridge tonight. There it is. So you're telling me you believe, as an expert on Islam, so born and raised in Iran, you're saying that that is consistent with, that pattern is consistent with what you're talking about, an Islamic symbol.
Oh, most absolutely no doubt about it. Yasser Arafat symbolized the way that guy is wearing it around his head is how Yasser Arafat symbolized this kufiya to be worn by men. So it's not necessarily a headscarf or a female move, but actual symbol of man. And by the way, if you look it up, if you study it, this is an international symbol of revolution by Palestinians. Those who stand by them, or those who are Palestinian fighting for Islam and destroying Israel, they all wear this as an international language, as a symbol. They all connect inside, outside, wherever they are with those. They identify each other.
Look at this picture here of Yasser Arafat. Looks very similar, does it not?
Exactly.
Looks very similar, the pattern. So you're
it's apparently
me
called fishnet pattern. I didn't know there's a name for it, but fishnet pattern is what Yasser Arafat started symbolizing.
So not all the patterns are exactly the same.
Basically, the basic of it is just boxes or patterns of black and white, black and white, black and white. Now, Yasser Arafat turned it into what I wasn't ever, it's called fishnet, but apparently in English it's called fishnet. But the just the boxes or squares of black and white is the kufi or kufiya pattern symbol of, again.
Here is a picture of, I guess, a factory making these. So
yes.
Notice the pattern there. All right, guys, let's go back to the pictures on the bridge and see if we, again, see similarities in those scarves. Guys, go back to the two pictures on the bridge. That's the factory there. All right. There we go. All right. That doesn't quite look the same, but you can see on the lower part of it, it starts to have more of that wavy. Let's go to the other pattern where it's wearing around the neck. All right. That looks a little more consistent, does it not?
That is definitely a fishnet kufiya. Like, the pattern is absolutely, that little wave at the bottom of each black line is the fishnet of Yasser Arafat design.
Okay. So tell me what this means. What does this mean if this is what, who's out protesting and blocking bridges out in downtown Memphis, Tennessee tonight?
It's what we've been talking about. It's called red-green axis. It's actually interesting because of breaking news right before my show today. I had to change topic to talk about the RNC chair, but I was actually going to talk about Marxist Islamist movement hitting again earlier today with Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and Andrew Carson showing up yesterday on the 6th anniversary of the Muslim ban by Trump, drawing the narrative, changing it to Muslim and African ban. That's where it's coming to. So it's the red-green axis. It's the Marxist-Islamist axis, whatever you want to call it, which now they have officially merged the Black Lives Matter movement with the Islamic movement, and they're just working together. It's pretty much what it is.
Well, and you and I have been warning about the red-green axis for years. As you know, in the Mid-South, well, pretty much everywhere now, in the Mid-South, there are quite a few mosques. So, again, it's not shocking, but the Islamists and the Marxists are united in their hatred of America, in their hatred of the free market system. One of the pillars of Islam is social justice, is it not? Which is another word for socialism.
Yes, it is. And all the Islamic countries, if you look at them, I have said this repeatedly. I was asked, why do I know so much about Marxism and socialism? I said, because I was raised a Muslim. It is so similar. You don't have to know much about, just like someone who survived socialism or Marxism can easily talk about Islam. They are literally same thing, different names. Everything they follow is the same.
Wow.
And yes, also hatred for America, hatred for freedom. I would say that there are two major things that makes America target. One is our freedoms, or whatever is left of it as of right now. Two is the Judeo-Christian values. Those are the top two reasons of hatred toward American Americans.
All right, Annie, thank you for coming on at such short notice. When we saw those scarves, I'm like, wait a minute, that looks like the Islamic scarf. I got to verify this with the expert, though. You are the expert on this. And so you're saying, without a shadow of a doubt, you believe those to be Islamic scarves.
100%, definitely. As I said, international language of symbolism and identification of Palestinian revolution. That is what that piece of fabric stands for.
So the red-green axis, awake and taking advantage of this very tragic situation in Memphis, Tennessee tonight. Annie, thank you. Her website is Stand Up for Freedom? Live Up for Freedom. Live Up to Freedom. Don't go away yet. LiveUpToFreedom.com. LiveUpToFreedom.com. Her studio, LUTFStudio.com. LUTFStudio.com. Do you have anything you made? Do you want to show?
I do, but you called me literally like 4 minutes ago, so I don't have the chance to go to a studio and grab it. But okay. There are some new items on LUTFStudio.com. But make sure to use the promo code WVW66.
Yeah,
WVW66.
LiveUpToFreedom.com and then LUTFStudio.com. LUTFStudio.com. Thank you, Annie.
Thank you, Brennan.
Appreciate
Be safe.
It. You too, my friend. Annie Cyrus checking in. All right, let's go to Mike Adams tonight. Mike is with Natural News, Brighteon.com. Mike, thank you for standing by and letting us bump her in front of you with the breaking news out of the Mid-South. After we talk to Mike, we are going to show you the disturbing footage out of the Mid-South tonight that we have been waiting to come out for a week. And it is five black officers beating a black motorist who apparently, we are told, worked at FedEx, which is headquartered in the Mid-South, and was on his way to his mother's house, was about 100 yards, we're told, if the reports are true, from her house, supposedly pulled over, reportedly, for, erratic driving, if you will. Again, I don't know. Something seems peculiar about the story. I'm going to wait to see what comes out, but something tells me there's something more to this story. I don't know when you last have a guy driving erratically who's at a stoplight or 100 yards from his mother's house, gets pulled out of the car and five cops all on the ground like that. Something's not adding up to me. And then we'll see later in the footage, very, very graphic, folks, handcuffed, holding the man up, two to three cops physically holding him up while they take turns with massive blows to his head, not to mention the number of hits, kicks to the head as well. I mean, there's no justification for this. Mike, I know we're springing this on you before we move to our normal topics with you. As a national news outlet, I'm sure you're aware that this was released an hour and 44 minutes ago. It comes from the Mid-South here, yet I also am seeing reports tonight the protesters are starting to spill out in the streets of New York. What are your thoughts on what is happening?
Yes, Brandon, thank you for having me on. Of course, I've reviewed the video footage that was released, and my initial impression is that I'm absolutely horrified at the way these police officers clearly engaged in criminal violence against Tyree Nichols. There's no question whatsoever. They restrained him. They held him back. They could have simply put him in cuffs and arrested him and put him in the car at that point. But instead, they use him as a human pinata. And there's no circumstance under which that would possibly be acceptable. So this speaks not only poorly on law enforcement in particular, but I think you're right, Brandon. I think there is an even larger agenda here, because tonight, as you are reporting, and I know you're going to show some videos, some live streams, America is about to erupt into violence over this. And it's a violence that will be exploited, as your previous guest just mentioned, exploited by radical and extremist groups, anti-America groups, fascist, Marxist, and radical Islamic terror type of groups. They will attempt to piggyback on this strong reaction, the emotional upheaval, and they will attempt to rip America to shreds in terms of its cultural fabric. And I'd like to point out, Brandon, that this although what happened to Tyree Nichols was abhorrent, there are black men being killed every day in this country with an mRNA jab, and there is no outcry from the mainstream media because they're all paid off by the drug companies, as you well know. You've reported that as well. So just be careful, folks, about selective attention. You are supposed to see this murder, but you're not supposed to see the other murders that are taking place every day. So those are my initial thoughts, Brandon.
And we're going to play that footage again in a moment in this show. We played it during the Lindell Report as just minutes after it was released. Transitioning to the topics that you're known for covering at Brighteon.com and at naturalnews.com. It's been a while since we've talked. This is our first conversation in the new year, 2023.
True.
I am sure you have seen, as we were covering 2.5 so weeks ago, the clips from the FDIC meeting in November of 2022, where one of the officials says bank runs will happen. Bail-ins will happen, not bailouts, bail-ins. One of the guys said, you know, the public has more trust and confidence in the banking system than most of us in this room, and everyone in the room who is in the banking industry laughs. Then they talked about keeping the Americans in the dark, need to know basis so they don't create panic. As they sat there updating their Article 2 paperwork, which deals with taking over a bank that is insolvent, and closing it down over the course of months and maybe years. We played clips from a lady in Cyprus, I think 2013. She lost the equivalent of $100,000 American money. She owned a restaurant when this bail-in happened, and many then said that was the test for the world. I remember being on the air saying, many believe what's happening now in Cyprus is a test for the rest of the world. We have this going on. This is one of many issues happening right now. I want to address this one, though, because we also have the feds bragging that they're going to roll out the Fed Now, the new Fed Now, and folks, you doubt it, you can look it up, Federal Reserve, Fed Now cryptocurrency between May and July of this year. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, this whole issue is accelerating quite rapidly because of the actions of the Saudis, as you know, who named Communist China as their priority trading partner. And in the last few weeks, we've seen many announcements about essentially Russia, Iran, and China working on rolling out various digital currencies, perhaps to be merged into one new competing world reserve currency, which would be potentially a digital yuan that is backed by commodities. This also explains why the central banks of the world, especially China, are purchasing enormous quantities of physical gold. I believe in the third quarter of last year, China alone purchased 300 tons of physical gold, and that was about 3/4 of the total purchases of gold by central banks. And that one quarter purchase was larger than the entire global purchases of gold by central banks in 2021 or any earlier year. So we're talking about a very rapid ramping up to a commodities-backed global digital currency in order to carry out transactions that do not use the U.S. dollar. Now, I know your audience is very well educated on this point, very sophisticated, so I'll jump right to it. The dollar, once this happens, the dollar will very rapidly become, well, it will plunge toward worthlessness. And this will cause the banking failure in the United States, and it will force the establishment into a currency reset in which people who hold dollars will very likely lose the vast majority of the value of those dollars. And they will use that, the establishment will, that crisis to force people into a central bank digital currency system, which, as you know and you've reported, is a surveillance system, a control system, and it's a way to lock people into environmental scores and social credit scores in order to let them access their own money. So my warning to everyone is don't be left holding dollars when this day comes. And I have a feeling, Brandon, that Russia's new offensive against Ukraine is going to be followed very quickly by China's announcement of some form of economic warfare against the United States, very likely to include a currency war. So that's kind of my summary.
Yeah, and this, of course, is things that you and I have been warning for years and years. I don't know what it takes to wake up Americans. You know, this audience is very awake, but this has been multiple decades. I started Worldview Weekends that became WVW Broadcast Network. I started Worldview Weekends 30 years ago next month. I've been doing this 33. I started had my first book come out on the cosmic humanism, New Age, in 1990. So I've been doing this 33 years, but launched Worldview Weekends in February of 93, 30 years ago next month. It is hard to believe what it's taken to awaken people to this issue. Many Americans don't understand how we even got a petrodollar, Nixon closing the gold window, going to Saudi Arabia with hat in hand, begging them to trade oil in the world market with the American dollar, will provide some some protection. And then last year we began to report that the Biden regime had pulled Patriot missiles out of Saudi Arabia. We showed the before pictures and the after that show the Patriot missiles missing. Russia goes rushing in with security. And, of course, that behooves the BRICS banking system that I've been talking about since 2010. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. They're now going to add Saudi Arabia, apparently, and Argentina. Most Americans are completely asleep. They believe that the FDIC has enough money to cover their banks. And you and I both know the FDIC doesn't have enough money to cover a couple major, you know, several major big banks failing. They don't have it. And there's no indication Congress is going to allocate more money for the FDIC to fill those tanks up. And in fact, Yellen, when she was the Federal Reserve head, was saying again, bail-ins next time, not like 2008 bailouts. I mean, what's it going to take to wake up Americans?
Well, many of them will never awaken, and they will suffer a near total collapse of their assets as this happens. But understand that whenever this day comes, when the dollar is no longer really preferred or even recognized by 100 plus other nations around the world, when they say, hey, why should we trade in dollars when we can buy oil from the Saudis using this new digital yuan currency that doesn't lose 2% of its value every month because it's backed by gold and it's actually an international stable coin rolled out by China, you know, and Russia and Iran and other countries, as I mentioned. When this day comes, these dollars will come flooding back into the United States, and the Treasury and the Federal Reserve will find that they cannot print their way out of this problem because there will be no one left globally to buy the debt, no one. And so we will move into a very rapid hyperinflation spiral, almost like a Weimar Germany situation, but not as quickly as that. And the dollar will rapidly lose value at first, perhaps 10% a month, and then 50% a month, and then 50% a week, and so on. So they're going to use this crisis to force people into digital wallets in order to control people. What's going to hold value in all of this are things that you and I frequently talk about. Physical gold and silver in your possession, for example, food supplies, firearms, ammunition, land, buildings, vehicles, diesel fuel, things that have real value, things that you can barter, even power tools or solar panels or solar generators. All of these things will hold value while the dollar is collapsing. But what's going to happen in terms of the rioting and the uprising of mass violence and chaos, the anarchy that will plague many U.S. cities, we're going to get a small taste of that tonight and tomorrow, this weekend, because of the police brutality. That's a small taste. What's coming with the dollar collapse could be 100 times worse. It's going to be true chaos. Cities may become, at least parts of them will be unsurvivable when that day comes. So don't be stuck in a city when that day comes.
And, of course, this news, as you said, is used to distract Americans from other things. The financial crisis, the insolvent banks. So many other issues, including now this regime in the White House seems dead set on carrying out a war with Russia. We're already fighting, I believe, a proxy war with Russia through Ukraine. We're training apparently Ukrainians on how to use the Patriot missile system. We have a report that we've sent way too much weaponry to them, that we don't have what we need and can't replenish it fast enough if we have to deal with China. I believe, as Colonel John Mills has said, on this show many times, as well as Gordon Chang, that we could at any time see China make a move against Taiwan. What will America do? Will we go and get involved in that? Will it be a setup to get us involved in that in order to defeat us? But are we going to get entangled with Russia and then get entangled with China? Military experts retired from the military say we can't fight a two-theater operation. Are we being set up for a massive beat down on purpose by a captured White House by the CCP?
Well, you've nailed it. This illegitimate regime that's currently occupying Washington, D.C. is, in my opinion, clearly controlled by the CCP. And their designs are to make America weak, especially in a military sense and in a munitions supply sense, to weaken America, so that America cannot defend Taiwan nor itself. And the munitions that have been sent to Ukraine, along with artillery pieces and now main battle tanks and drones and armored transport vehicles, troop transports and so on, this has left the United States virtually depleted of munitions domestically. In addition, we are not in any way equipped to fight a two-front war like we did in World War II. Even then, that was stretching it, but we had a very large manufacturing base. We had a strong labor pool. We had our own domestic mining operations for commodities that are used to make steel and copper and, you know, shells, artillery shells and munitions and so on. We do not have those things today, not at anywhere close to the scale that's required. In fact, the Pentagon just announced, I believe it was yesterday, that they're going to crank up production of artillery shells to something like 90,000 a month, but it will take 2 years to build the new factories to even begin producing that. 2 years, forget it. We may not be here in 2 years if we escalate this conflict with Russia and with China. Russia is, frankly, on the verge of, I think, strongly considering the launch of nuclear ICBMs against Western targets. Because Russia feels like it is facing an existential threat. And under its protocols, an existential threat against Russia is one of the justifications for them carrying out nuclear strikes against their enemies, which is NATO. So I don't think Russia is going to nuke Kiev or any city in Ukraine, but it is increasingly likely that they would launch nuclear weapons against Berlin, Warsaw, London, Paris, and Washington, D.C., New York City, Houston, Texas, and so on. And our rogue administration and rogue State Department, incompetent, ignorant, arrogant, they're pushing us towards that every single day. They are placing the lives of the American people at risk while pushing policies that destroy the culture from within. America is under attack from so many vectors. We better pray to God to have guidance to get through this.
Did you see the story of the police officer fired for posting on traditional marriage on his own personal time and Facebook page?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I'm set to interview him on Tuesday.
Oh, good.
This is a perfect example of what I was talking about earlier tonight, and I've been saying it for years. We have got to pay police officers a better salary so we can attract the creme de la creme in candidates. We have got to then stand by them when they do what they're trained to do with appropriate measures. There's a police officer. She's female. I've interviewed her. She is a police officer. Her husband was a police officer, and I've interviewed her several times here. He went into the home of a man threatening to kill himself. Apparently, he wanted suicide by cop. When he walked through that door and went into that living room, two of his colleagues were already there. The man had a gun against his forehead, his personal forehead, threatening his own life. They demanded he drop the weapon multiple times. They asked him and told him that he was going to be in big, you know, life-threatening situation here. You're going to get shot. Drop that weapon. Because they knew from their training that all it would take is the flick of the wrist. And when he moved his hand away from his head, he got shot, was killed. That officer followed his training, is sitting in prison tonight. Until we start backing up the cops for doing their job the way they're supposed to do it, which then will cause people to say, I have the confidence to become an officer because I know the judicial or the criminal defense, criminal, you know, the prosecutors will back me up. My police department will back me up. You're going to pay me well, have my back when I follow my training. Yeah, I'll be a cop. But instead, we don't pay them well, and then we do throw them under the bus and in prison when they actually follow their training. So I go back to saying, we have got to hire better candidates. Would you agree?
Well, absolutely. But part of the problem, as you know, is these George Soros-funded DAs
yes.
that tend to prosecute cops and let violent criminals loose on the streets. So if you're even considering becoming a police officer, you know right now in these blue cities, it's a suicide mission. You're going to be probably criminalized for doing your job. And then, of course, the situation happening in Memphis right now, those five police officers who beat that 29-year-old man and killed him, that only feeds right into that narrative that all cops are bad, which is not true. Most cops are not bad. Most cops would never do that. Most cops that I know and some that I've trained with over the years in self-defense and martial arts and firearms training and so on, they are upstanding, law-abiding citizens. They are professionals. So the media is going to use this to try to paint all law enforcement as evil thugs.
I have had two conversations with law enforcement officers tonight and today. They're all appalled, and they're here in the Mid-South where this is all going down. They are appalled.
Absolutely.
They are appalled. You know, the reality is we are taxed enough to pay for what is the function and purpose of government, security and protection. What we're doing is diverting the funds that should be going to paying the top salary so that we get the top candidates. We're diverting those to paying for social programs, people who are able-bodied to not work. We're paying for Obama cell phones. We are socializing medicine and paying for people's health care. We are inviting millions of illegals in here. We are paying for their housing. We're putting them up in hotels in New York. They are we're paying for their education, their health care. We spend so much money that is not the function and purpose of government. We could lower, if we cut the waste, cut the things that are not the responsibility of government locally and statewide, and then get within the bounds of the Constitution and only the enumerated responsibilities of the central government, we could lower our taxes drastically and have enough money to pay the essentials of what is the purpose of government, security and protection. I mean, this is what you get, I guess, when you have a welfare state and you pay for things that are well beyond the function and purpose of government.
Well, and when you have Democrats in charge who despise the rule of law, they despise civility, they despise America, they want to see chaos and destruction. And guess what? That's exactly what they're going to get. The blue cities, many of them in America, are on the verge of collapse right now. And when this currency collapse takes place, we will see an accelerated collapse into abject lawlessness. There will be a day, Brandon, I promise you, a day when even the cops in many of these blue cities turn in their badges and go home and say, forget it. No one can fight this chaos. It's hopeless. They will bug out with their families, and they will leave as cities burn.
Wow. Let's talk about, before I let you go, by the way, he's with Natural News, and he has a ton of articles. Let me just show you real quick. You go to naturalnews.com. These are all the articles that he's covering over there tonight, over at naturalnews.com. Also, brightdeon.com. Brightdeon.com, a major show, news, conservative broadcasting. There it is. America Unhinged, members of the Globalist World Economic Forum are pretending to be gods. That's at Brightdeon TV. So check it out. But what do you make, Mike, of the Americans with the Bank of America, I believe it was, missing some of their money? Is this a test to see how the American people will respond? And you add that to the FAA going down, New York Stock Exchange glitch, rolling blackouts for us here in the Mid-South, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. Is all of this conditioning the American people for something major coming? And so they can say, well, we tried to tell you there were problems.
Well, I think we've reached the tipping point of a highly complex but non-redundant society run by incompetent woke idiots, frankly. And we're going to see systems break down more and more. And the excuses of the FAA, are one of our tech people put the wrong file in the wrong folder and it caused a reboot. Really? Are you saying the entire U.S. air transportation economy depends on one guy with one file on a thumb drive somewhere? What, are they running the FAA on Hunter Biden's laptop or something? I mean, these people are insane. We have more redundant systems than the FAA does on our own network, and I know you do too. But then again, we're real Americans. They're not. So we're going to see continued breakdowns in banking and finance. And, of course, the World Economic Forum recently warned about a coming wave of cyber attacks. Now, I think many of those will be false flags. I think some – they will bring down systems on purpose and then just blame Russia or Iran or North Korea for that matter, or just any cyber hacker. But they want to bring systems down. So whether or not what just happened was intentional, we should all plan for this to happen with greater frequency this year and beyond.
All right. So I've asked you questions, but I want to make sure I cover what you're covering. What right now are the biggest stories you're covering, Mike?
Well, look, I think I got to take us back to the breaking news tonight that America is about to erupt into mass protests and violence. And I do want to point out that because there are racial overtones to everything that happens and that is amplified by the mainstream media, if these five police officers had been white officers instead of black officers, the burning of the cities would already be underway. I'm not saying, you know, I'm thankful that they're any color, but at least it's not going to have the overtone of white cops beating what looks like an innocent 29-year-old black man. It was black cops on a black civilian, black on black violence, law enforcement on civilian violence. Yes, that's going to be amplified, but I just want to reiterate, Brandon, that all the cops that I know are professionals. They're upstanding. They're law abiding. They work their tails off. They see domestic violence. They see crazy people. They get slapped and spit on.
They get shot,
blood sprayed on them.
They get
yes.
shot and killed going to a domestic
Absolutely.
Dispute. A domestic dispute shows up, happens. They show up, and they end up dead.
Yeah, it is a thankless job, and I just have to say a prayer for every law enforcement officer in America right now. I pray for your safety and your sanity as this situation unfolds, because the media is going to try to hype this up and ramp up the violence.
Let me show you another headline. This is just coming out. I think this is today. I just saw it while you and I were talking. NBC News reports Air Force General predicts war with China in 2025, tells officers to prep by firing a clip at a target and aim for the head. Quote, I hope I'm wrong. My gut tells me we fight in 2025, end quote, said General Mike Minahan in a memo sent to the officers he commands and obtained by NBC News. Comments?
Well, that is a possible timeline, but there are many things that could accelerate that, such as nuclear exchange with Russia, obviously. I think the moment that China sees America as being vulnerable, if America slips up in this engagement with Russia, then China will move very aggressively. However, if cooler heads prevail, for example, if we were to engage Russia with diplomacy rather than just ignorance, you know, State Department ignorance, then we could delay this conflict and perhaps avoid it altogether. But sadly, you know, our illegitimate leaders seem to have us on a path of destruction. So,
well, Dr. Peter Pry said at this desk well over a year ago, sadly passed away in August, but at this desk he said, we should be boldly telling Russia we do not plan to bring Ukraine into NATO. We will not do that and add missiles right up against you. So they should have been doing this to de-escalate, but they never did.
That's right.
I think they want war. I think the occupant of the White House is captured by the CCP. Russia and China are in military alliance. And I remind my audience again, they practice Russia and China, Vostok 18, the largest military exercise in world history in 2018, which included a nuclear strike on America and NATO, says Dr. Peter Vincent Pry in my 2019 documentary, Siege. Well, he was saying we need to cool things down and back it off. But if you're captured by the CCP, which is in military alliance with Russia, and they've already practiced a strike and bringing down America, what better thing to do than get your country involved in a war with Russia, then go and let Taiwan be taken by China, get us involved over there, and now we fall. I mean, this again is like a total setup, and they got their guy in the White House to set up the country.
Yep. And a small taste of the chaos is unfolding in real time right now while you and I are talking here this Friday evening.
And you know that Colonel Mills projected on my show last night, again, he served on the National Security Staff for two presidents. He said he did the study to show that he believes, Trevor Loudon also agrees with this as well and has reported it here, China spent massive amounts of money, Communist China, funding a lot of the street protests, CCP. Colonel Mills says his numbers show about $100 million spent in 2020 to aid in the looting and burning and rioting in the streets of America in 2020.
Yep. And there are going to be paid instigators all over the cities and streets of America tonight and tomorrow night, this weekend. Folks, be safe. Have a plan to exfil the area. Don't drive your car into these downtown areas if you can avoid it. And just be ready to flee. If they surround your car, jump on your car and try to smash your windows and pull you out of it, consider your options, which should include the accelerator pedal. So just saying.
Naturalnews.com, naturalnews.com, and brightdeon.com. Mike, as always, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Brandon. God bless.
You too. Mike Adams checking in, naturalnews.com. All right. Look, here's another sad breaking story today we woke up to. Here it is. Jerusalem synagogue killing spree leaves 7 dead and 3 injured. Netanyahu, quote, "I call on citizens not to take the law into their own hands, for we have an army and police," end quote. 7 people were killed, another 3 injured in a terror attack at a synagogue. Again, the 21-year-old terrorist arrived at this street shortly after 8 p.m. and opened fire at people leaving the synagogue after Friday night prayers. He attempted to flee the scene by car and fired in the direction of Israel police officers. The officers fired back and killed him. They are seeing escalated terrorist attacks in Israel over the last several weeks. We'll get some updates from some of our Israel experts like Dr. Rob Lindstedt, Andy Woods, and Aaron in Israel as soon as we can. Andy Woods will join us here in just one moment. I would like to now give you the disclaimer that we are going to show this footage that has now come out as of tonight at 6 p.m. Central Time here in the Mid-South area. We are not too far from Memphis, Tennessee, where this occurred. Again, about a week ago, we were being warned that this footage was going to come out and that it would indeed ignite a response from agitators and protesters. At the time, we weren't all aware of the fact of the makeup of the people group of the officers. Now we find out all 5 are Black Americans. The motorist pulled over for reportedly erratic driving and pulled out of the car is also a Black American. Again, you're going to see footage that is very disturbing. We want to give viewer discretion, and probably not something small children should watch. But again, this is what is all over the nation tonight and what is stoking right now as we speak. Interstate 55 is blocked by protesters. And from what we can tell, these are the typical agitators we have come to warn about. As Annie Cyrus reported earlier, those are patterns on those scarves consistent with representatives of Islam. So is this the red-green axis at work? Again, something our friend, the late Phil Haney, with the Department of Homeland Security, warned about many, many times on this broadcast. We'll start out with this first video. This is a body camera footage of the officer arriving on the scene. I do not believe there's any audio with this. So let's go ahead and roll that footage, Thomas. Here we go. I'm rolling it here if you want to pick that up. There we go. Okay. There is not any audio with this. So we're going to watch as he comes up on the scene where this Black gentleman has been pulled over. This is where it all starts. We're going to show 2 different videos here. This is not the one that's so very disturbing. Is troubling, but not like what we're about to see, unfortunately. This one is where it just gets started. All right, there he goes. He's getting pulled out of the car. And again, something tells me there has to be more to this story. There's got to be more to the story. I'm just asking questions here, folks. Here's one I'd like to ask. Just a question. It's not a statement. Did any of these officers know this man? Just a question. Did any of these officers know this man? That's one question I'd like to have tonight. The whole procedure here seems really odd for a guy just reportedly pulled over for erratic driving. Now, there we go. He just got pepper sprayed. They've got their stun guns out, and he just got pepper sprayed. Well, he's up, and he's out of there. They've tried to just right then hit him with the taser, and this guy is running with handcuffs on. So these guys give chase. And he outran him. We are about to go to the other footage because this officer right there stops the foot chase. Let's go to the other footage, Thomas. Pull that down. I'll go to the other footage we've queued up in advance. This is the footage, folks, that is very disturbing. This is now where they have caught up with the man. And at this point, they are under a a Skycam in the Mid-South, perhaps in your community as well. They have cameras up on poles. And oftentimes these cameras are illuminated. They want you to know they're there. And there is a blue light that will flash so that everybody knows, ah, that's a camera. And these are well throughout the Mid-South, not uncommon, in hopes of deterring crime and or catching crime so it can be used in an investigation. I don't know if these guys are completely oblivious that this Skycam is there. I don't know if it had a blue light, but you would think they would know. Not that they would have to be convinced to do their job the correct way by a camera on scene. You would hope they do their job no matter what is going on regarding to filming or not filming. I don't know if any of them have body cameras on in regards to this. We saw some body cam footage. I don't know who all's wearing body cameras. We'll, I guess, be finding out as this thing goes to trial. I highly doubt it will go to trial. I can't imagine it would go to trial. I would think with this footage, I mean, how are you going to get a jury pool? I would think at this point it'll be a matter of trying to cut deals. Who knows? We'll have to watch it play out. But I'm not so sure what's going on here with the body camera footage, if there's any body camera footage at all. But this footage is coming from a Skycam up above. All right, with that warning, here is the footage. Now, again, I do not believe that there is any audio with this. The other one had audio. We just chose not to play it because there's too much cursing in it. This, I understand, does not have audio. At this point, he is handcuffed and he is being kicked in the head. Of course, this is not in training. Blows, kicking a suspect in the head is not a part of police training from the officers I have talked to over and over. He is still handcuffed. And we're eventually going to see that he is brought to his feet. All right, that guy you just saw him undo a nightstick, one of those metal nightsticks, and you're about to, there he goes. Now he is beating that guy with those metal nightsticks as he's trying to get up on his feet, and he's being held. So I do not understand the reason for beating him with a stick when he was down handcuffed and they were getting up to his feet. Oh, now that was a blow right to the head. He is another one to the head. He is being held up by two officers while they take their turns beating him in the head. There you go, folks. To any idiot that wants to come on the site tonight and say, wait to get the background story, leave the page. Because there is no reason for any backstory there. He's handcuffed. Two officers have him. He should be put in the back of the squad car and taken away. But instead, they brought him to his feet, two officers held him, and they took their turns with blows to his head while handcuffed. There is no backstory needed at this point. Earlier, we don't know what the backstory is. But since this video started, no backstory necessary. Let's call balls and strikes, people. But don't underestimate the stupidity of some people, because I've already seen some of the comments by some people tonight trying to say, well, let's just wait. We don't need to wait. Now we got more kicks to the head. There you go. Officer arrives on the scene, kicking to the head. The one bending over, trying to catch his breath. Well, maybe go for a jog and get in better shape, buddy boy. Now, I'd like to know if that guy right there who showed up on the scene, is he any of the guys that was involved earlier? So is this guy now made it to this scene, and he's full of adrenaline, quite upset, and now he's out for revenge? I'm wanting to know because the body type looked very similar to the guy we saw earlier at the traffic stop. But again, rushing up on the scene, kicks to the head. This is not legal. This is not their training. Now he's on the ground. His hands are behind his back. He's cuffed. Now, at this point, again, I don't understand why they haven't picked this guy up and put him in the car, but I guess maybe they're waiting on an ambulance at this point. We're about to see, I think, him be dragged and leaned against the car. Very disturbing video. All right, now they're going to grab him. There we go. Set him up. This guy seems to me either unconscious or near it. Yeah. Now they've dragged him and set him up next to the car. He is conscious. He is moving, but man alive, they have beat the tar out of him. And of course, he died 3 days later. Now this is getting coverage all over the nation tonight, and we are getting reports that other cities are now starting to see protesters roll out. As we reported earlier here in the Mid-South, in Memphis, they protesters have shut down Interstate 55 bridge. You see this one officer there walking around limping. I'm assuming that's one of the ones that's now limping because he was hurt himself kicking that dude in the head over and over, kicking him. And it looked like it was in the head. This I don't know how anyone can justify this behavior. And I've not heard any officers I've talked to today even attempting. They actually warned me how appalling it was. And then when I talked to one of them after tonight, he said, was it not as appalling as I told you it would be? So again, this is something that, again, is not representative of what is most of our officers on the street tonight. Let's go to Dr. Andy Woods joins us. Were we able to get a hold of Trevor Loudon at all? Trevor, let's go to Trevor if we go to Andy. Trevor Loudon, welcome to the broadcast tonight. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks, Brandon.
I don't know if you've seen this footage or just saw what we were playing. We already are seeing the agitating here in the Mid-South. It's looking like it's taking place in other parts. Earlier tonight, I sent Annie footage of some guys and gals on the bridge, I-55 bridge in Memphis. It looked like they were wearing Palestinian-type scarves like you used to see Yasser Arafat wear. I sent her pictures of that. She is reporting those are consistent with the patterns we see, which would mean we've got the red-green axis. You want to comment on all this?
Well, okay. I've just been to the website, the Facebook page of Memphis for All. That is the Front for Liberation Road in Memphis. Liberation Road is the pro-Chinese Communist Party that started Black Lives Matter. They're the people who burnt Ferguson, Missouri. They're the people who organized much of the rioting in 2020. So the last week, is their Facebook page is nothing but reports on this incident. Black Lives Matter, they're is going down to the park tonight. They're rallying all their people. Black Lives Matter has direct ties to Russia, to China, and to the Palestinians. So we're already at war with China. We're already at war with Russia. And now it's playing out in our streets with pro-Russian, pro-Chinese, Black Lives Matter rioters ready to make hay. And here's another little thing. There's a lot of influence of Liberation Road in the Shelby County, in the local government in Memphis. Why would they release a video at 6 p.m. on a Friday night?
Thank you.
Why not
Thank
do it at
you.
10 a.m. on a Tuesday morning?
Thank you. That you is know, exactly.
This is the perfect time. If you want riots all weekend, you do it 6 o'clock on a Friday night. If you want to keep it low-key, you do it at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday morning. I think this is deliberate because young people are going to be out on Friday night. They're all going to be fired up, a little bit of alcohol involved, and you've got potential riots. And this could happen all over the country. So, yeah, I think this is bad influence in Shelby County. I think Black Lives Matter and Liberation Road both have a lot of influence in the county. They have people on the county commission. And so I think this is set up to start the Black Lives Matter scenario all over again. See, in 2020, they did it in 2020, then they stopped before the election because they wanted Joe Biden elected. They wanted to calm things down. Well, they don't care now. You know, China wants its pound of flesh. China's trying to destabilize this country in preparation for war. Russia is trying to destabilize this country. And I respectfully disagree with Mike Adams before about, trying to negotiate with Russia. Russia's invasion of Ukraine, there's no off-ramp there. That was the first step in World War III. That was the first kinetic step. The only reason we haven't seen the rest is because the Ukrainians have been so damn brave and so darn tough that Putin miscalculated. So there's no off-ramp there. Putin, the Russian government is not after peace. They're after war. They just want to get this. And the only thing holding them up right now is a few brave Ukrainians and the support they're getting from NATO.
And so, can defend the Ukrainians without having to agree with anything in the past or the corruption of the government in the past or these money scandals where people are taking aid and stuff. So we can defend the Ukrainians, as we had a man from Ukraine sitting here a few weeks ago talking about what his poor family goes through and their churches go through, and no power and no electricity and no hot water, and they're having their city shelled. So again, we don't have to get into an argument.
Christian humanity should make you feel sorry for these people.
Right.
And I'm seeing Christians condemning them.
Yes.
Like the praising Putin. But back to this issue.
Yes, I have seen that.
We've got to understand we're in a war now. We're in a war now. Russia and China are pulling aggressive moves on this country. And no matter how much we appease them, that's not going to change. The only way to stop them is resolute action against the protesters in this country and against the aggressors on the international stage. And that needs a strong America. And we unfortunately allowed a very weak man to become president. And we're reaping the consequences, and we better get some tough leaders in there pretty quick. I'm glad that Brian Kemp in Georgia called out the National Guard in Georgia. I guarantee there's no rioting in Florida or any significant rioting in Florida, because my governor, Ron DeSantis, will be on their case if there is. They know there are Ron DeSantis has passed laws in Florida anticipating exactly this kind of scenario, and they will be very loath to cross Ron DeSantis on this kind of thing. But in other states, it's fair game. Blue states, it'll be fair game. So we got to understand, Black Lives Matter is a Chinese operation. Liberation Road is the organization running this. Go to their Facebook page, Memphis for All, and look at all of the stuff they've got on this issue for days and days and days and days, getting their people ready for tonight.
And their people include...
Hopefully it will not turn violent tonight, but I'll be surprised if it doesn't.
And their people includes Marxists and the Islamists, the Red-Green Axis, correct?
Yeah, look, Liberation Road has deep... Black Lives Matter and Liberation Road have deep ties to the Palestinians, for instance. Very deep ties. You know, like what happened in Ferguson was modeled on the Antifa of, the Intifada of Israel, when the Palestinians were creating havoc in Israel a few years ago. There's very deep ties between Black Lives Matter, Liberation Road, the other communist group, Freedom Road Socialist Organization, and the Palestinians, and also Syrians and other Muslim groups. So yeah, this is the Red-Green Axis. This is international in scope, and we are seeing it play out in America. This is an aggressive action by people who support China, and they want to make maximum chaos in this country to weaken us as much as possible to set us up to lose any future war.
How will this be used to further something we've talked about a lot, Trevor, and that is federalizing the police, bringing the police under federal control, and then of course linking it to the UN.
Well, see, this is the vicious cycle, isn't it? You hire they elect these left-wing communist DAs who don't back up the police, and the police are scared to act, And so good cops start leaving, and then they can't get cops, so they hire underqualified people, poorly trained people, and set them loose on the streets, and they can't handle it. They haven't got the discipline. Bad incidents happen, gives the cops a worse name, and the cycle spirals down.
And sets the
That's exactly what's happening. This is the fault.
Sets the chaos for then the feds to say, oh, we got to step in and take care of this.
Yeah.
And then they federalize
Look,
the police.
You cops, you're all racists. You're all racists. You're all disciplined. We need federal oversight. That's what it'll say. So the process is the communists elect a bad one of their DAs. The DA does nothing, doesn't back up the cops, doesn't protect the cops, lets criminals out on the streets. Good cops get disgusted. Good cops leave the force. They need to get more cops, so they hire gang members. They hire people with criminal convictions. They don't train them properly. They're not very well led. They get into incidents like this. They lose their temper. They lose their cool. Bad things happen. The whole police force gets a terrible name, which creates more tension. And the feds say, well, we better do something about this. We better federalize the police forces around the country. And that's your Gestapo. That's how it happens. So yeah, this is bad from all sorts of angles, but we need to understand this is a communist movement. Black Lives Matter is communist. They work in conjunction with communist China and to a degree with Putin's Russia and with Islamic terrorists. So yeah, they aim to create maximum chaos, and they'll use incidents like this. See, so I saw an article tonight, Van Jones. Remember Van Jones?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He said even though the cops were black, this was still could have been motivated by racism. Now, Van Jones is a Maoist. That's what he is. I exposed him. He got kicked out. Glenn Beck got him kicked out of the White House. He's still a Maoist. He was associated with the Liberation Road people. These are his folks. So now he's stoking this racial flame. Even though they're black, and I'm sure he wishes they were white, but black's okay because at least they're cops. Well, because they've been trained by white people. They're Uncle Toms. They're doing the work of the slave master. So no matter what, who does it, it'll always come back to racism. Cops are bad. The system needs reform. We need police oversight. We need federalization. And it's just all part of the revolutionary process. Mm.
Let's look at this. This is Interstate 55 tonight, headed over into Arkansas. So they have shut down I-55. If you look to the right, you see the what we often refer to in the Memphis area as the M Bridge, because when you see it, it looks like an M for Memphis, but it's the M Bridge. That's I-40 to the right that's all lit up. This shutdown here is I-55, both major interstates for transportation, obviously travel, but for transportation. You can see all the big rigs. And, of course, FedEx is in Memphis. So this is a huge problem. And, of course, many – look at all the big rigs. There are just tons of them. And, of course, this is where you pick up Interstate 55 headed south into Mississippi. Again, Interstate 40, 240 to 40 to Nashville heading northeast out to the East Coast. So, again, this is a major area. Many national security experts, by the way, have worried about these two bridges for many reasons from a national security standpoint, international infrastructure. So we have been very aware of these bridges as far as their importance, but they are.
Well, do you think professional communist agitators would know strategically where to go?
Yeah.
So this is just people who just fired up and they just decide to occupy this particular area to hold up traffic, very strategic here. This is planned. They've been planning this for some time. They probably planned this even before the young man was killed. They thought, when we start riding in Memphis, where should we assemble? What's going to do the maximum damage, cause the most economic damage, cause the most frustration, cause the most confrontation with the cops? Oh, we'll go there by the M Bridge. You know, people, they have this planned out. They have training courses for this kind of stuff. They have training schools for this kind of stuff. And there's nothing spontaneous about this. There was nothing spontaneous about the riots in Ferguson, Missouri. They brought 10,000 people. Liberation Road brought 10,000 people into Ferguson, Missouri to riot in that little area. 10,000 people from outside the town. And they have these networks. They're all primed. They're ready to go. They know they'll get an incident every now and then. They know that cops beat people sometimes. People die. People get provocative to the cops sometimes. They know this will happen. And they're all ready to go. I'm sure they have maps of every major city. This is where we go when the trouble starts. This is where we cause the maximum damage. If anybody thinks this is spontaneous, I'll sell you that Enbridge. I own it and I'll sell it to you, and you can charge tolls on it. How's that?
Yeah, exactly. We are getting reports tonight that two Shelby County deputies, the sheriff deputies, have been relieved of duty pending an administrative investigation. This is according to Sheriff Floyd Boner Jr. Apparently, again, being in dark, it was hard to tell. Two Shelby County sheriff officers, sheriff deputies, appeared on the scene. He, having watched the video for the first time tonight, I have concerns about two deputies who appeared on the scene following the physical confrontation between police and Tyree Nichols. I have launched an internal investigation into the conduct of these deputies to determine what occurred and if policies were violated. Both of these deputies have been relieved of duty pending the outcome of this administrative investigation. Before we let you go, Trevor, you have been warning about this, and you have a website with many of your books about these organizations, history on these organizations, at trevorloudon.com, if you don't mind putting his website up there for him, Thomas. There we go, trevorloudon.com. What books would you recommend if they wanted to get up to speed on some of these organizations you've been talking about tonight?
Well, in my newest book, Security Risk Senators, about the Marxist backgrounds of U.S. senators, I have a list in the start of all the major U.S. communist and Islamist organizations and how they cooperate. And then you can see how they cooperate with your senators and congressmen in the book. So, yeah, Security Risk Senators, thanks for the plug, Brannon, but people will find them very, very interesting. Security Risk Senators, the beginning chapters are all about the different communist organizations in the country, and the last chapter of book two is all about what we can do about it.
There is the website.
TrevorLoudon.com.
There is the website, Security Risk Senators, part one, part two, Enemies Within the Church, White House Reds, the Enemies movie, Burn This Book, of Barack Obama and the Enemies Within, all of these resources by Trevor.
Yeah, the Enemies Within. Yeah, the Enemies Within video is 2 hours, an hour and a half long. It's got a lot of whistleblowers in it. That's all about the red-green axis, how the Marxist and Islamists have worked together to infiltrate the Congress, to infiltrate their people into the Congress and the U.S. Senate. So this is how it works, Brannon. You get the rioters in the streets, and you get your people in Congress, and the rioters in the streets say, we need police oversight, and we need to shut down the cops. And the congressmen, who are their friends, say, well, there's a lot of pressure from the streets. We need to respond to this pressure. We better bring in some police oversight. We better shut down. We better federalize the police. It's called pressure from below, pressure from above, and the middle class gets squeezed every single time. The left employs the rioters on the streets. They have their people in the system who respond to the rioters' demands, which have been organized in advance by the people in power anyway.
You know, we've been talking about that pressure from above, pressure from below, the communist tactic. Pressure from above, pressure from below. So that's what you're describing right now, and that's what we're seeing right now.
That's what happened. We've got a whole bunch of Congress members who are sympathetic to Black Lives Matter and these people. So they'll be raising a ruckus in Congress now about police brutality, how we need to do something. We need to take the guns off. The other thing will be taking guns off people as well. So all of it, you know, you got the street level rioters who are communists, and they get elected. they're sympathizers to the US Congress and the US Senate, and then they coordinate together to get their measures passed through the Congress. It's an old technique. You've got about 100 members of Congress and about 40 members of the US Senate who are basically working for the radical left in this country, including Steve Cohen, the congressman from Memphis. He's very much part of this radical movement. He has ties to Liberation Road and some of the other Marxist groups operating in that city.
Mm. TrevorLoudon.com, and of course we're pleased to announce Trevor has a show with us. He's had one for a while, but now he's daily, 30 minutes every day. What time, Trevor?
7 p.m. is it? I'm not sure because I just record it. Then you play it later.
I don't remember what time it is.
I think it's 7 p.m.
I think it's 7 p.m. Central too at W.
Sorry.
And it's and on demand. 7 p.m. Is when it airs on our stream at WVWTV.com and on demand at WVWTV.com. So you can go watch all of this week's shows by Trevor Loudon on demand at WVWTV.com. That's my website. What were we going to say, Trevor?
I just think we're going to see a lot more of this activity coming up, and I'll be there commenting on it and exposing it. Look, I think I could give the FBI a list of the 100 worst race agitators in the country, and they could shut this down. But they're far more interested in going after people who take selfies in the Capitol building to worry about anything like that. They could have shut down Black Lives Matter very easily if they had wanted to. They could easily identify the leaders. They should know who these people are. I know who these people are. And they could do it. But there's political considerations here.
Indeed, there are. TrevorLoudon.com. Thank you for joining us on a Friday night, Trevor.
Always a pleasure, Brandon. And let's hope the weekend goes better than it might, okay?
Absolutely.
Let's hope it's more peaceful than it could be.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
TrevorLoudon.com, TrevorLoudon.com. Joining us now is Pastor Dr. Andy Woods, a trained attorney and a pastor, president of a seminary, author, talk show host. Dr. Woods, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Brandon, great to be here. Good to talk with you this evening.
Sorry I'm running behind tonight with all of this breaking news. Any comments on what's coming out of the Mid-South before I talk to you about what I want to talk about?
Well, you know, the last time I looked, it was 5 black officers against 1 black man. So as terrible as that was, I think it's hard to argue, you know, for the narrative of systemic racism and oppression of blacks systemically, you know, just based on the racial composition of the police officers.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm just asking questions. When two cops hold a guy that's cuffed, they hold him up while people take turns punching him as hard as they were, as drawn back as they were, with as violent as they were. To me, that seemed awfully personal. Maybe it wasn't, but it sure had the look of something really personal. So I have to ask the question, not a statement. I have to ask the question, did any of those officers know Tyrell? That's what I would like to know. Well, I called you this week and I asked you if you'd come on for a few minutes, Dr. Woods. Here's my question for you. Is the increase in artificial intelligence, the lunging forward of the technology, how will this play into end times? I've heard some suggest, I don't believe it, I don't agree with it, but I've heard some suggest that maybe the Antichrist will be artificial intelligence. That's what the Antichrist system will be. I don't believe that's the case, although I do think artificial intelligence will be involved in the last days. What say you, Dr. Andy Woods?
Well, I clearly see artificial intelligence involved in the last days in passages like Revelation 13, verse 15, which talks about a statue that the Antichrist will set up in the Jewish temple midway through the tribulation period, and it will turn from being an inanimate object to animate. It has the ability to speak and compel worship. So if you're looking to find artificial intelligence in the last days, that's where I would go. But having said that, the Bible is crystal clear, and I think the Bible supports this. Just I was looking up some sources just before I came on The early church fathers, going back to Irenaeus, support this. You know, John discipled Polycarp, who discipled Irenaeus. So the Bible and the early church fathers support the idea that the Antichrist is actually going to be a human being. And biblical support for that is Revelation 13, verse 18, the famous or infamous Mark of the Beast passage. And it speaks there about the number of a man. And the Greek word there is anthropos, meaning man. The Antichrist is also called the Lawless One, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And he's called the Son of Perdition in that same passage. And the only other person called the Son of Perdition in the whole Bible is Judas. Well, Judas, the prefigurement of the Antichrist, was a man. In fact, all the prefigurements of the Antichrist, whether it's Titus of Rome, Daniel 9:26, Antiochus Epiphanes, Daniel 11:31, and even going back to Nimrod, Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, these are all commonly held precursors of the Antichrist. All of them were human beings. And even beyond that, when you look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, John, who wrote Revelation, by the way, talks about a spirit of the Antichrist in the world. And he says, you know that the definite article, Antichrist, singular, is coming. And if all of that weren't proof enough, in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, the Antichrist, there he's called the beast, is thrown into the lake of fire. And he's still in the lake of fire 1,000 years later. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 seems to indicate that. So obviously he's not a machine. He would have just dissolved into the lake of fire. He's a human being. You know, God has set eternity into the hearts of men. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. So I think when you look at the totality of the biblical data and you take a look at what the early church fathers believed, clearly the Antichrist that's coming is a human being. That's not to say that he can't or won't use artificial intelligence as he seems to do in Revelation 13, verse 15. But I think for people to say that the Antichrist is going to be a computer or a robot, you know, ultimately, I think is going beyond biblical parameters.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you make of this news report? And then I have some other breaking news out of Memphis tonight. What do you make of this headline tonight? Jerusalem synagogue killing spree leaves 7 dead, 3 injured.
Well, what I make of it is, what does the Bible predict in the last days? Zechariah 12, verse 3, Zechariah 14, verse 2, it says all the nations will come against Jerusalem. And I think it was Charles Feinberg, one of my favorite commentators, in his commentary on the book of Zechariah, says in the last days, the world, all the nations are going to be smitten or bitten with the bug or the disease of anti-Semitism. And so news reports like this, as sad as they are, you know, don't surprise me, but they're just a sign of the times.
Yeah, indeed they are. You're an attorney. The breaking news out of Memphis tonight, former Memphis officers charged in Tyree Nichols' death. The news tonight is that they're out on bond. They're out on bond already. You being an attorney, I find this a little interesting. Again, I'm not an expert in this area, but I do find this interesting, which goes to my earlier question. Did they know this man? Was any of this personal? And what caught my eye right now was these men were each charged with second-degree murder, aggravated assault, 2 counts of aggravated kidnapping, 2 counts of official misconduct, and official oppression. Now, again, I'm not an attorney. Dr. Woods, you are a pastor, a theologian, and an attorney. But aggravated kidnapping? Don't you find that description in this charges a little interesting for these officers?
Well, you know, what's interesting to me about all of that is maybe they're being a little bit lenient with these guys with the bail, because they kind of figure, well, they are police officers. We've got a record on them. You know, they're men of the badge. They're not going anywhere. And so maybe that has something to do with it. But I think one of the great...
getting at is the aggravated kidnapping. Why two counts of aggravated kidnapping? And I don't know, obviously, official misconduct and official oppression. That makes sense. The aggravated kidnapping. I guess I'll need someone to explain to me the aggravated kidnapping. I mean, we don't generally associate police officers who pull someone over and cuff them and arrest them as kidnapping. Again, maybe because it was not official, because it was not official. It was done outside the color of law. But if someone grabs you and cuffs you and does this to you and holds you and beats you, that's, I guess, constitutes legal kidnapping. But again, I'm curious to know what is going on. I have to go back to my initial question. Was this a personal vendetta with the way they were treating him and the what seemed to be extreme anger and almost personal in their beating of him? Was this guy familiar? Were they familiar with him? But I think that's interesting. Aggravated kidnapping, or am I reading into that too much?
Well, it's it kind of depends on the elements of the statute, you know, in that particular jurisdiction. But, you know, kidnapping is basically holding someone against their will.
Right.
And then when you have aggravated, you know, it's typically aggravated is associated with committing another crime in conjunction with that, you know, beating him up. You know, maybe that's the reason these guys were charged with aggravated kidnapping. But I, you know, until I actually look at the statute in that particular jurisdiction, I can't really answer your question with precision.
And here's the headline. All former officers charged in his death out on bond tonight. All of them are out on bond. I guess the reason I mentioned that is I know that these guys, for what they did, could get out on bond so fast, and yet other people, I'm sure, are still sitting in the jail tonight for pretty petty charges, but they're not out on bond. But I guess they're not connected to the right groups to get bond as fast. But I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's all very interesting. I mean, I'm watching your station. You're talking about things that they're not talking about on the other stations. But there's on the other stations, they're running footage of the guy running, you know, not submitting to arrest, fleeing arrest. And then he's like yelling out for his mom, which I thought was a little strange.
He was
a little interesting.
I mean, unless the reports are wrong, he was only like 100,000 yards, I mean, about 100 yards from his mother's house.
Yeah. And, you know, what's interesting is how they're going to use this. I mean, we know where this is going. They're trying to argue that this is yet another example of systematic and structural racism. And let's keep in mind that all five, I think, policemen were not white, but they were black. And black on black crime is one of the most, I would argue, one of the most guarded secrets in the United States. They don't want to report on black on black crime. They want to report on white against black crime because that fits the narrative of systemic racism.
Yeah. Well, again, I want to be on the record asking the question, was this man known to any of these officers? Was he known? Was Tyree Nichols known to any of these men? I don't know. I just, the whole thing is so emotional. It seems so personal. It seems very personal to some of these guys. I don't know. I'm just asking questions. Again, here is the, sadly, the picture of him in the hospital, and he died 3 days after the beating. And, you know, what do you say as a pastor as we conclude tonight, Dr. Woods? What do you say to the people tonight who say, why does God allow evil like this in the world?
Well, I would say that one of the things that I steer away from is the doctrine of omnicausality, which is the idea, the misguided idea that God is not only omnipotent, but he causes everything. I don't think the Bible teaches that.
You believe God's omnipotent, but you don't believe he causes evil.
Correct.
Okay.
He's all powerful, but the explanation for evil is going back to Eden, going back to the Luciferian rebellion, is God's creatures use their free will, which God initially gave them, to rebel against the Creator. And that's why we're living in the world that we're living in now. It's in a state of decay. It's in a state of bondage. We're living in a world that God, you know, never originally intended. And yet what is amazing about God is he will actually use human suffering in our lives for his own purposes. He wastes nothing. You know, the famous scripture, all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purposes. So he doesn't say there that all things are good. What it says there, Romans 8, is that he will use all things to work together for good. And so even in the midst of suffering, as painful as it is and as terrible as it is, and of course I want to go on record saying I don't, you know, defend these police officers and what they did to this man at all. But as terrible, you know, as this is, God can, if we allow him, can actually use things like this in our individual lives to accomplish his greater purpose of conforming us and transforming us into the image of his son.
Dr. Andy Woods, his website, andywoodsministries.org. We also produce his show. Well, we carry his show. He produces it. We used to bring him into studio, and he's still welcome to come in. But he produces his show from Houston, Texas area, Sugarland. He's the pastor of Sugarland Bible Church outside of Houston. And we carry his show every day. In fact, we carry it right after my show. Yeah, I don't know what we're playing tonight, but you do a lot of teaching. And right after my show at WVWTV.com, we bring on your hour of Bible teaching.
That's right. And tell Logan, I got a brand new show we just did yesterday in the can. It fits his times that he wants it in.
Yeah,
58 minutes.
he's cracking the whip on times there, isn't he, Dr.
Yeah.
Lewis?
So it's number, Pastor's Point of View, number 241. We take a look at current events and prophetic issues, but that show's ready to go also.
Absolutely. You can find those on demand at WVWTV.com. Dr. Woods, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
His website, andywoodsministries.org. Before we leave tonight, take a look at the website. Didn't get much time to do this much tonight. Didn't feel like it was appropriate, but as we conclude, I'll do it. One way we're brought to you is by offering services to you at a fair price, and then it is a part of our general operating budget. You need emergency freeze-dried food. Look at what we talked about tonight with Mike Adams. I hope you buy it from us. I know you can buy it elsewhere. It is very good tasting, and it has a 25-year shelf life. You'll find it all at WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. Then, please, you need some sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers. I'm looking for Delta. That's two nights in a row now she's not been in the studio. What gives? But I hope you'll buy them at MyPillow.com. Use that promo code B66. If you don't use that promo code, we don't get credit. And we need that credit to keep funding all of the shows we produce here. So please do buy some products you need for family and friends and yourself at MyPillow.com. And please use that promo code B66. I'll be back Sunday night live, Sunday night, as I have been since 2015, as we have our Sunday night service. I'll continue our series, The Coming Religious Reich, Part 2. Each part stands alone, so don't worry if you didn't see Part 1. Join us Sunday night right here and at WVWTV.com and FrankSpeech.com, LindellTV.com. Join us live, 8 p.m. Central Time, Sunday night, for our Sunday night service. Talk to you then. Take care. Hello, I'm Brandon House. If you appreciate this 24-hour-a-day free broadcast platform, will you consider supporting us? One way you can support us to keep pushing out free programming to people all over the world is by joining in partnership with WVW Foundation. The WVW Foundation exists to proclaim the truth of a biblical worldview, to help people understand the times through the lens of a biblical worldview. If you appreciate that, we appreciate your partnering with WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com. If you prefer to support us through the mail, the mailing address is WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. If you prefer to support us over the phone, you can make a contribution by calling 901-468-9357. That's 901-468-9357. Your support of the WVW Foundation, as I said, allows us to push out free programming. Many people put their programming behind a paywall. If you don't catch it live, you don't get to see it. WVW Foundation is committed to working with WVW Broadcast Network to push out programming as a ministry of the foundation. The foundation also sponsors a Sunday night service that I've been hosting since 2015. If you'd like to join us for our Sunday night service, you can do so every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Central Time at wvwtv.com/live. wvwtv.com/live. Thanks again for your support of the WVW Foundation at wvwfoundation.com.